Ever just want to slam that textbook shut and think, wouldn't it be faster to just, do this stuff? It's
Right.
like sometimes the best learning happens outside those classroom walls. And that's exactly where experiential learning comes in.
It really is fascinating stuff.
Totally. And today we're diving deep into how this whole learning by doing approach is shaking things up in education.
And we've got some awesome insights from the Friday SLO talks to help us unpack it all.
Definitely. So to kick things off, can you tell us a bit about what makes this discussion so important? Why is everyone buzzing about experiential learning?
Well, I think it really challenges us to rethink those traditional ideas about education.
Okay, I'm listening.
We're so used to this model of passively absorbing knowledge, right? But experiential learning says, hey, let's flip the script. It's about actively constructing knowledge through, well, experience.
So instead of just being told what to think, it's more about like figuring things out for yourself.
You got it. Think about learning to ride a bike, right? No textbook, no lecture can truly capture that feeling of balance.
So true.
You learn by doing, by falling, by hopping back on, and that's the core of experiential learning.
And I'm guessing that's why those lessons, those bike riding lessons, really stick with us, right?
Exactly. When we actively engage with something, experience it firsthand, the learning becomes way more ingrained. It means something.
It's not just head knowledge anymore, it's like embodied.
Exactly. But it's not just about the doing part. There's this crucial next step, reflecting on those experiences. Why did that happen? What worked? What totally flopped? That's where the real learning kicks in. And that's where David Kolb's experiential learning cycle comes in.
Okay, I love a good framework. Give it to me.
All right, so Kolb breaks this whole process down into four stages.
Hit me.
First, you've got the concrete experience, the actual doing, the hands-on part.
Gotcha.
Then comes reflective observation, taking a step back to like analyze what went down. Then we move to abstract conceptualization. That's where you draw those bigger conclusions, start to form theories based on what you observed.
So it's like taking those specific experiences and making them into like general principles.
You got it. And finally, you've got active experimentation. This is where you take those shiny new insights and put them to the test. Love it.
You're testing them out in different situations, see if they hold up.
So it's like that moment when you're first learning to code, right? And your website's a glorious mess of HTML, but instead of just crashing it, you analyze that mess. You're
Exactly.
like, why did it go so wrong? That's where the real learning happens.
You got it. And that's the power of reflection in this whole cycle. It lets
Yeah.
us personalize the learning, connect it to our own, quirks and experiences.
It becomes yours.
Totally.
Yeah.
And one of the speakers at SLO Talks, Dr. Heinrich, put it perfectly. He said, experiential learning can be an equalizer of educational outcomes because people bring themselves to the learning in that moment of reflection.
Wow, that's a powerful statement. It suggests that this approach could make education more inclusive, more equitable. Absolutely. By putting the learner's unique experiences and perspectives front and center, it levels the playing field.
I love that. Now, Kolb's cycle isn't the only framework out there, right? I feel like experiential learning has been brewing in education for a while.
Oh, absolutely. This isn't some new fad. We're talking deep roots here.
Yeah.
Think John Dewey, big time educational thinker from way back in the early 20th
Oh, I
century.
remember learning about him. Vaguely.
Well, he was all about this stuff, believed education shouldn't be, stuck in its ivory tower, detached from real life. It should be about preparing students to be, active, engaged people.
Makes sense. So we've got this concept with a pretty rich history. But if we're talking about different thinkers, different approaches, does that mean there isn't one single definition of experiential learning?
You hit the nail on the head. And you
Yeah.
know what? That's a good thing.
So it's not a cookie cutter approach, more like you've got the ingredients, you've got the recipe, you can kind of make it your own.
Totally. And that's what makes it so powerful. You can tailor it to fit. And you know what else? This flexibility. It isn't just about what you teach, but also the how, the way it plays out in the classroom.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So were there any examples from the SLO talks that really brought this to life for you?
Oh, tons. One that really stuck with me was Dr. Patrice Ludwig. She shared this really cool way of designing her courses.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
So instead of those traditional lectures, she structures everything around what she calls phases and themes.
Phases and themes. Now you have to
Yeah.
explain.
Right. It's about creating that immersive experience. So Say she's teaching a marketing class, right? Instead of just lecturing about the principles, she'll give her students a real-world challenge.
Love that.
Yeah, like they have to create a campaign for a new product or maybe analyze an existing one.
So they're actually doing marketing, not just reading about it.
Exactly. They're getting that hands-on experience, almost like a mini internship, but within the classroom. And here's the key. They're working in teams, just like in the real world, right?
Totally. Whoever tackles a project solo these days.
Right. You need those people skills just as much as like the technical know-how.
It's all about collaboration.
And Dr. Ludwig pointed out how this kind of environment naturally brings those dynamics to the forefront.
Yeah, she said something like, the students in teams that engage socially build trust faster, and that trust helps them work through the really sticky parts of their projects. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the task itself, it's about navigating those relationships, which, let's be honest, can make or break a project in the real world.
100%. Those skills are invaluable.
Okay, but here's my question. Let's say you've designed this incredible experiential learning experience, right? Students are engaged, they're collaborating, they're solving real-world problems. How do you even begin to measure what they've learned? How do you capture that growth in critical thinking, in collaboration, in problem solving? Seems like those traditional exams and quizzes wouldn't quite cut it.
You've hit on probably the biggest challenge with this approach. How do you measure something as like nuanced as the process of learning, of growing through experience?
It's like, how do you measure personal growth, right?
Yeah.
You can't just slap a grade on it.
Exactly. You need a whole different set of tools. And luckily, Dr. Ludwig had some really insightful things to say about this. She talked about this shift, right? Moving away from just evaluating the final product and really looking at the process of learning itself.
So less about the destination, more about the journey, how they actually got there.
Exactly. Their problem-solving strategies, how they collaborate, those aha moments. It's all about understanding their unique learning journey. And she uses tools like, you know, weekly reflections. Students document their thought process, the challenges, the breakthroughs. It gives her those valuable insights.
Took a window into their thinking.
Totally. And she also uses interviews. She can have those deeper conversations, you know, see how their understanding has evolved.
So much richer than just a multiple choice test.
Right. It's about meeting them where they're at and guiding them. Reminds me of that Einstein quote. Not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted. And experiential learning is all about embracing that complexity.
It's like Dr. Ludwig said, if you simplify too far, you lose the ability to give those opportunities to students.
Uh-huh.
So this complexity is an opportunity as well. She's right. It's about recognizing that learning is messy.
It's multifaceted. And our methods of assessment should reflect that.
Absolutely. And in the end, it's not about acing exams, right? It's about setting students up to thrive in the real world, in their careers.
Exactly. And that's one of the most compelling things about experiential learning. It has a direct impact on those skills employers are looking for.
Those real-world skills.
Right. Critical thinking, problem solving, adaptability, collaboration. You can't learn those from a textbook.
It's not like cramming for a final.
Exactly. But the beauty of this approach is that those skills develop naturally, organically. By actually doing things, working through challenges together, students are building those essential skills without even realizing it.
Like Dr. Ludwig said, you're seeing students developing durable skills, engagement, empathy, and critical thinking. All of this is happening in those spaces. It's woven into the experience itself. It's not just about absorbing information. It's about giving them the tools to succeed in all aspects of life. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty inspired right now. It's clear that experiential learning isn't just some trendy teaching method. It's a fundamentally different way of thinking about education, one that recognizes the power of experience, of reflecting on those experiences, and then taking those insights and applying them in new and exciting ways. So as you go about your day, think about your own learning journey. When has a hands-on approach really helped you grasp a concept? Where can you seek out more of those opportunities? Because learning, it shouldn't stop when we leave the classroom.